Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, service, a law of the soul, part two. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Service is the spontaneous effect of soul contact. It's a soul urge, the outstanding characteristic of the soul. Before we go forward with this, I'd like to more or less pick up where we left off the last time. And I was asking a question of both of you, and after the show, I was kind of intrigued. I'm on a path, I guess we're all, so many of us are on a spiritual path, and I was intrigued by the idea that we can, that there are certain behaviors that we might manifest that are more or less proof that we're in contact with the soul, or that the soul is manifesting itself more strongly within us. And one of those criteria might be desire for service. Is that it? When we have a desire for service, is that more or less proof that the soul is manifesting itself within us?
I would think so. Surely if we don't have a desire to serve but think we should anyway, that's an indication we're not serving as a soul. The soul is not discovered in doing something we think we should do. It's not done out of a sense of duty or obligation, because there's an element of begrudging right there, and that would be a definite indication you're not serving as the soul. It's not spontaneous, and it's not given out of an urge to serve. The service of the soul is joy, just the joy of giving. It's the realization that the more you give, the more you have to give. And it's an appreciation of the circular flow of divine energy, the confidence that the more you give, the more you will have to give again. Whatever you give will be replenished. I don't think the soul thinks in terms of burnout. The soul doesn't think in terms of depleting its energies and resources, because the soul knows that it taps into a circular flow of energy that is continually renewed and replenishing.
Right, and actually I think the thing about the soul urge to service, it does so instinctually. It is not so much as a desire as it is an instinct. It just does it by instinct. And desire is more of the lower personality nature. But it's the kind of similarity that we have in the personality nature for service, but for the soul itself being a spiritual law, and the soul must obey that law. It is a spontaneous effect, a spontaneous instinct of the soul, because it's the very keynote of the life of the soul is service.
Another way of looking at it is that the desire to serve is at a certain stage normal and good, but more accurately, the science of service is more correctly a matter of release than of desire and aspiration. It's a it's another way of looking at it, a different perspective that realizes that the service of the soul is a release of a kind of flood tide of spiritual energy. You don't have to strive after service. You have to let it come through you. And there's an interesting point on this that Alice Bailey makes, where she relates service and death to the principle of liberation. Both death and service release something. Death obviously releases the body, hopefully in the normal sequence of things, when the body is aged and or perhaps ill and no longer able to meet the demands of the indwelling life. There is a release and a liberation in the death of the body that frees the soul to return to a level of being that is uninhibited by an inappropriate body. Okay, if you understand that as liberation, death as liberation, then perhaps you can understand service as release also. It releases spiritual energy into expression. Something pours through you that, as I was saying in the previous program, athletes might describe as being in the zone, and a great singer might describe as being in alignment. There's a channel that's opened up that allows power, spiritual power, to come through you. And that's why people who are really serving as a soul can achieve things they never would have guessed were possible.
And also related to that releasing factor, the soul, by serving in the world, also is released gradually from the hold of the personality itself. And that is the great liberating, releasing factor, not just through death, as you mentioned, but it releases the bond, it releases the hold and the imprisonment of the soul by the personality. So the more one can serve spontaneously, the more you advance on the path of liberation.
Yeah, it's getting the isolated, separated, personal self out of the way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's what releasing does. It releases that personal self.
And yet we fear that that might be a kind of sacrifice, might be a painful thing to do, when in fact it lets in a rush of spiritual energy that is pure joy. And that brings to mind another quality or feeling, as you said, that we could look for to know if we're serving. It should bring joy. Not hardship, not deprivation, not exhaustion, not a sense of depletion, but just joy. If you're not feeling the joy of what you're doing, you're probably not truly serving. It shouldn't hurt.
No, and I think it's a quality of joy probably that is not related to, you know, happiness or a personal feeling of happiness. It's something very deep and something very unfelt before, perhaps. It's a whole new way of feeling.
I suppose you could say it's a sense of the rightness of what one is doing, that that's a kind of joy, that you are doing what is natural, right, and that you're obeying a kind of command from somewhere deep within or from above, but it's effortless effort.
Yeah, and it creates a sense of wholeness, and I think joy really comes when that sense of wholeness enters into the consciousness. Because if you think about it, we are here in this personality life, in this world. We are kind of isolated, we're separated from ourselves, separated from other people, and we're separated, everything around us is separated, and it's by itself. And suddenly, you return to that source of joy, and there is this feeling of returning to a sense of wholeness. And I think that's where that great sense of love and joy. You know, when people who have had near-death experiences, this is one of the first things that they experience. They come back and they tell us this tremendous sense of love that they feel after they have been liberated from the physical body. And it's that kind of joy, I think, that is experienced by the soul during service.
There's a difference between this kind of joy and the fulfillment of desire, because I think desire is usually personal. It's usually self-centered. It's where all of us start with desire, trying to make our desires of a higher and finer grade. But as long as desire is the main thrust of the personality, it's going to be oriented toward fulfillment of separated individual interests and wants and needs. And the joy of the soul that is so spiritually quickening is that I think it awakens compassion and love and sacrifice willingly given, and the desire or the urge to share, to let the bountiful spiritual energies pass through one's hands and flow out to others, to let it all just freely flow through the world. That's the wholeness you're speaking of. And those are different perspectives on happiness and joy.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, Service, A Law of the Soul, Part 2. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service and why it's so important to spiritual development. What you need to do if you'd like to take advantage of this offer is to send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And I think this is a wonderful example of the Alice Bailey books in the sense that if you'd like to follow this particular theme that we're talking about today on this show, then this might be a good thing for you to do. Get the entire compilation, Serving Humanity, which takes extracts from many different Alice Bailey books that focus on that particular theme and more or less condenses them into this one book. And so it's a great way of exploring this particular topic that we're speaking about today, exploring it in depth. So once again, send a check or a money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, L-U-C-I-S for Lucis. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you would, just write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, also so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Might be a multiple number of reasons you'd like to contact us, but most people call to order a package of general information about Lucis Trust to find out what Lucis Trust is all about. And if you'd like to, just give us a call on that number and ask for the package of general information. The easy way to remember the number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Once again, website www.lucistrust.org. And by the way, those tax-deductible donations that you send into us, both large and small, they all collectively contribute to enabling us to continue doing this radio show. So please, if you'd like to, please continue that support. Every every show is a challenge economically. So send those donations in. We really appreciate your support. Send them to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. There's so much about the soul that you've said. One thing that confuses me, and it's almost like a fear or concern within myself, even though sometimes I feel those characteristics of soul qualities coming through my own individuality, I more or less have a phobia or a fear of losing my identity somehow, that I'm becoming different to losing myself. Would you be able to comment on that?
Well, you might find that you're more than you realized you were. Would it be so bad to lose your present self? I don't know. We're all different. I often think I'd like to lose my present self. I'd like to leave it in the dust. And
but is a soul?
Poor, sorry carcass on the side of the road.
with vultures to master. No.
They can have it.
Is the soul a part of our undeveloped self? Is it our higher self? Is that a way
yes.
of... So it is
yes.
a part of the self, but we haven't actualized it. Is that it?
Yes. It's who we truly are.
Uh-huh.
And the near death experiences that Dale speaks of are the moments that a few rare people have where they disconnect briefly from the body, from the personal consciousness, which is isolated and imagines it's separate, mm-hmm. and they realize who they really are. We are all so much more than we realize. Our higher self is who we truly are. And if we could confront that higher being that has incarnated into poor, sorry carcasses over and over again for the working out of its intention, which is to serve, we would be amazed at how beautiful we are. And keeping that in mind, we can imagine that everybody else is that same lighted being in potential. And when I was mentioning in the last program using moments of idle time to serve, for example, when you're stuck in traffic or sitting in an airport without a flight in sight or on a subway with a lot of people that you'd rather not be with, just imagine looking around you and seeing all of these people as lighted beings encased in personalities and bodies that are limited. But the lighted being, the divinity of that soul, is present. And just witnessing that capacity and that potential is, I think, a profound form of service. Service isn't meddling and doing things for others that they should do for themselves. And it never overcomes or interferes with the free will of another person. Never, ever, ever does it do that. I think the greatest service of the soul is anonymous and invisible, but it's seeing the potential in another human being and fostering that potential.
And this great potential of the soul is something that's going to be coming more and more to the foreground as the decades and centuries go by, because that is really the keynote for this coming new age, I think, as we mentioned in the previous show, the symbol for, we call it the Aquarian Age, and the symbol for the Aquarius is, of course, the water server, the server with a pitcher of water on his shoulders.
The water bearer.
Water bearer, okay. But he is pouring forth the water for the waters of life, as it is called. It's not really water so much as it is the energy of life itself that is being poured forth for thirsty men and women. So it is the kind of keynote for life in this world for the next 2,000 years. And at the end of this age, service is going to be such a, as a matter of fact, it's going to be such a spontaneous effect that the world will look so much different than it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be something that's going to grow in years to come. So, I mean, the sooner you can get with it, the more you will be in sync with the coming New Age energies.
I think more and more we are growing in urge to serve and awareness of the need to serve. for people of my generation, I think it started with that clarion call of John Kennedy when he gave his inaugural address and said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, and I would extrapolate for humanity. And many young people heard that call and joined the Peace Corps and dropped out of the urge to materialism and selfish pursuits, and it was all very idealistic, and some of it was kind of foolish, but we all learned a lot by attempting to serve. Nowadays, I think it's harder for young people to have that conviction that life should be lived in that way, because they come out of college facing often very big debts, and they're worried about financial security. But I do hope circumstances can reclaim that that intention to serve that often really beats most loudly in the youthful heart when you think life is full of possibilities.
Yes, that's a spontaneity that you don't want to lose or get you know, encrusted with cynicism, because it's a very well, it's the soul right there, and that's what should be brought forth and cultivated and listened to. It's the sound, it's the note that one should listen to. It's a silent sound. In fact, we were talking earlier about joy. One of the definitions of joyfulness is the silence that sounds,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a soundless sound that one must listen for. But when you hear it, then that's the note to follow.
I think another point to make about service for young people and the distance we've traveled from John F. Kennedy's inaugural address, and imagining in the future how we will view service, is that we probably have made the mistake of thinking, many of us, that when we serve, we should align ourselves with a cause. And often, in doing that, we align ourselves with a polarization that sees a problem that we think needs correcting. We feel bad because the problem causes people to suffer. We want to make that better. We want to improve their lives. And then we look about for the cause of that problem or condition, and we see somebody or some group or some condition that needs blaming. And this sets up a kind of a conflict that is really at its core unloving. And I think a lot of well-intentioned people are trying to make the world a better place, but in fact may, without their realizing it, be contributing to the polarization of people and even adding their little bit to the hatred that exists in the world, because they're participating in a kind of warfare. I think the service of the soul is based on complete inclusiveness. It's blame-free. Even when it sees wrong action, it doesn't blame in the sense of demonizing human beings who might be inlets for that wrong action. It loves and includes, and that's the service of the future.
Right, and one of the distinguishing characteristics of the serving soul is harmlessness, and it's not a it's a harmlessness that includes, that is inclusive and loving harmlessness. But I also wanted to mention before we close another way of serving that everybody listening to this can participate in, and that's serving by using the Great Invocation.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned before about use of meditation as a service, and incidentally we have a little booklet on the science of service if one wants to a copy of that, just give us a call about it. But it's using the Great Invocation on a daily basis. That's the invocation that Sarah sounds at the end of the show, and it's a way of invoking energies into the world, the energies of light and love and the will to good. And this is a tremendous way of serving, by invoking those most necessary energies into the world, into human consciousness.
that reminds me also of the point that's so important to keep in mind, that it's not only the young people who should be thinking about serving. People who have entered the latter part of their life have a wonderful opportunity to serve because many of the outer circumstances of life are a little more settled. And there's so much you can do in consciousness, as you say, through meditation, through the great invocation. The real goal of this discussion of service as a soul is to become radioactive, Alice Bailey said. That might surprise people, but she said the goal is radioactivity. The being who is radioactive is a channel for the light of the soul, she said, and for illumination to pour through him for the saving of the race and the lighting of those who stumble in dark places. She said that person's life must begin to radiate and to have a magnetic effect upon others. By this, she said, I mean he will begin to influence that which is imprisoned in others, for he will reach through his own powerful vibrations the hidden center in each individual. This doesn't mean the physical or magnetic effect that some very powerful personalities have upon others, often very charismatic people, but she's speaking of a spiritual radiation that is really only responded to and realized by those themselves who are becoming aware of that silent center in the heart. She said at this stage, the person is recognized as one who can speak heart to heart. He becomes a stimulator of the heart center in his brother, and he is one who arouses people into activity for others. That's the true radioactive service of the soul. It's faceless, anonymous, selfless, and utterly empowering.
By the way, we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, which we'd like you to take advantage of today, and it's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service and why it's so important to spiritual development. Send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you need to get in touch with us, you can give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.